You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
That you're one of the Lord's treasured possessions? Malachi 3:16 and 17 says in part that those who feared the Lord and honored his name will become his treasured possession. Welcome to Hidden Places, where you'll hear stories, testimonies, and casual conversations from believers just like you who make up the Lord's treasured possession. Each one of us has a unique story to tell, and during this hour, the Lord wants to bring forth those treasures out of the hidden places. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to WCNO, to Hidden Places within WCNO. Just want to thank you for joining us today. And, God is pretty awesome. And when you just stop and think about all he has done throughout the world, throughout the ages, throughout history, he's always doing something. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he wanted from the beginning, he still wants today. What he initiated from the start is still in effect today. And we just want to welcome you here. And I'm here with two of my co-hosts and one on the way, Nanette Maldonado.
Good morning.
Good morning. And our brother, Sean O'Hay.
Good afternoon.
We're going to have to talk to him. Good morning. Thanks, you guys, for being here. And Deanne's here on her way in a second. What, Annette?
No, we're always excited to be here.
Good. All right. So do you want to talk about the movie?
Can I? Okay.
Really? Did I mention it a couple of weeks ago?
What?
That I can only imagine two. Mm-hmm. So I was able to go to the pre-screening. So that was like maybe Deanne and I went. I think it was in January. Maybe, because she and I talked about it. That's right. You guys weren't here.
And I told you to stop because I hadn't watched it. And And probably nobody else was.
And you didn't want any details.
I didn't want any details. Oh, man.
But it was so good, wasn't it?
Yes. And I'm just going to mention one take. Like, one take was when he finally wrote the song, and when he shared it, I just love his verbiage because he said it wasn't the song. He didn't create the song. The song was his friend. The song was Tim. Mm-hmm. Tim was the song. He was saying, I was describing you, you know. He was like, you are the song. You are the song. And I'm paraphrasing, but I just stood in that because it just reminded me again that we become the message of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
We become the message. And so every day, wherever we go, whomever we come across, just our daily in and out, our going and comings, right? That we are the message. And it, I mean, I cried throughout the movie. Mm-hmm. Guys, bring your tissues, because if you have yet not seen and watched the movie, watch it, because it just speaks so much throughout the whole, from beginning to the end. Gosh, that Tim carried such a...
I know.
Such a joy in the midst of his pain.
Well, and, you know, we can't
suffering.
Say, yeah, mm-hmm. the song, I mean, the song is Even If by Mercy Me. Oh. and how the song came about. Mm-hmm. And it was between Tim Timmons, who was the newest band member, mm-hmm. and I forgot his name. That's terrible.
Oh my goodness.
Why would we forget his name? Sorry.
Why would we forget?
So, but it, to me, it was, there were so many different messages in it. But the one thing that I got out of it was how the one Tim had a part. He had this part, but he could not finish it.
Come on.
He had the song, but he could not finish it. So he, basically he said, I have the words, but you have the voice. Mm. And it, you know, that's, to me, the picture of the body of Christ, that every single one of us has something. And God will connect us with the person who has the other part, you know, so that there can be a whole and that God can be glorified in the midst of that. But it was a great movie. So yes, highly recommend going to see it. I believe it's still in the theaters, going to be in the theaters. I can only imagine two. And you won't be disappointed at all. Mm. It was really, it was as good as I can only imagine the first part. Equally as good.
Oh, equally as good.
Yeah.
They did a great job.
Amen.
I have to see the movie.
Yes, you do have to see it, Sam. Yes,
you do. Oh, I won't say any more details then. It's just, you got to see it.
I saw the first one.
Oh.
I said I saw the first one.
Mm. Yes. And so you'll need to see the second one.
Mm-hmm.
That's a prerequisite.
You know, it made me appreciate music even more. Christian music. You know how there's been this thing, you know, about, you know, most of the Christian music we hear is not a form of worship, blah, 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 blah. And I'm not going to get into that. But that song came from a real place in that person, mm-hmm. a real life experience, mm-hmm. you know. And
it was based on something that happened a couple hundred years ago.
Yeah. It was where,
or, I don't know how many years,
faith was tested, a trial came along. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just speaks from a real place. And so the next time you listen to a Christian song and it moves you in some way, somehow, mm-hmm. just remember it. It just wasn't gathering to gather, you know, the technology that's involved, you know, like instrumentally and everybody, you know, doing their, again, their part, their most powerful part to bring the song alive. But it actually was birthed from an individual and an individual's experience mm-hmm. with God. And so,
Amen. Amen. So so today I wanted to open up with, leading up to May 17th with the rededication of America back to God. And I think a couple of weeks ago I had mentioned that I wasn't sure about other proclamations that had been made throughout the history, but lo and behold, you know, all you have to do is Google and everything's right there. And I didn't know because I didn't have time to research it. I was just going with the information I had right on hand. So the White House has put out a nifty little thing on whitehouse.gov /freedom250. All the information that has to do with what's happening this whole year. President Trump made a proclamation in January that the whole, or I think he made it last year, that the whole year of 2026 was going to be, you know, in celebration of the 250th birthday. And there's just stuff going on everywhere. There's museums, there's different things that are happening. I think there's a traveling museum with the American history. But I just kind of read a little glimpse of it. But anyway, everything's on the website. So I looked on here and I found prayers and proclamations throughout American history. And so, again, this is right on the White House, whitehouse.gov/freedom250. So they have all these different proclamations that were made throughout our history, you know, starting from the Cape Henry landing in Jamestown in 1607 up to President Bush addressing the National Prayer Service after the 9/11 attacks. And so they've put together all these different proclamations that were made, but I just wanted to read the introduction to this whole thing, which is really interesting. It says, from the birth of our nation, America has been strengthened and sustained by people of prayer, from battlefield chaplains at Valley Forge to hymns sung in slave cabins and prayers in pioneer homes. Americans have turned again to the moral ruler of the universe in times of triumph and travail. This document gathers such moments, and in doing so, it affirms the strength of the American spirit, lays not exclusively in her ideas, but in the faith that undergirds them. These 17 moments of prayer and faith offer compelling evidence of enduring presence and formative roles of faith within the fabric of American public life. Far from being peripheral or incidental, these events underscore how a belief in divine providence, the words of Scripture, and the practice of public prayer have shaped the character of American institutions, guided moments of national crisis, and informed the moral imagination of the American people. As we celebrate 250 years of freedom, citizens of all backgrounds and beliefs have an opportunity to rededicate themselves to the principles that gave birth to this land of liberty. As George Washington famously said in his farewell address, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. In vain would that man claim tribute of patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness, these firmest props of the duties of men and citizens. These public prayers and proclamations not only encourage reflection on the past, but invite the current generation to consider the indispensable role of faith sustaining civic life, moral order, and national purpose as we prepare to usher in the next 250 years of American greatness. Today, countless faith communities continue the tradition of coming together to pray for our nation. This compilation of prayers throughout American history is intended to serve as a resource for encouragement, unity, and prayer to Americans of faith. And, you know, we had mentioned last week about, you know, we don't know how many people have prayed over this nation, even before it began, and way before that, when it began, and has continued throughout all these years. And it's just amazing. And so I just wanted to read one of these 17 proclamations. Yeah, because you wouldn't want to hear me reading 17 of them. But just this particular one. This is titled Government-Issued Calls to Prayer from Founding Fathers and Public Leaders. From the earliest days of American independence, beginning in 1775, the Continental Congress issued a series of official proclamations calling for national days of fasting, humiliation, and prayer. Between 1775 and 1784, at least 15 such proclamations were formally adopted, often in response to military, political, or diplomatic developments. Beyond the actions of Congress, individual founding fathers incorporated prayer into public governance. John Hancock, as governor of Massachusetts, issued at least 22 formal prayer proclamations. Samuel Adams issued 7. These proclamations, commonly called, commonly called upon citizens to seek forgiveness, partake in fasting, express gratitude, and cultivate virtue in public and private life. The practice of government-issued calls to public prayer has been continued by presidents, governors, legislatures, and local officials across generations, reaffirming a tradition in which religious observance and civil life are mutually reinforcing rather than mutually exclusive. And below is a prayer adapted from Washington's circular letter to the states, which he wrote on June 8, 1783, as the commander-in-chief at his headquarters in Newburgh, New York. And it says here, I now make it my earnest prayer that God would have the United States in his holy protection, that he would incline the hearts of citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love for one another, for their fellow citizens of the United States at large, and particularly for their brethren who have served in the field, and finally, that he would most graciously be pleased to dispose us all to do justice, to love mercy, and to demean ourselves with charity, humility, and pacific temper of mind, which were the characteristics of the divine author of our blessed religion, and without an humble imitation of whose example in these things, we can never hope to be a happy nation. Amen. I mean, you know, these are powerful, powerful things that were written many, many years ago. And I feel that upon us this year, that, you know, all of us, we all see the chaos. We all see all the stuff going on. And the only answer is God, the Lord Jesus Christ, over the nation. And we need to pay attention to what's happening in the nation. I'm sure everybody is, because, you know, I don't like this one, I don't like that one, which is irrelevant. God is going to be moving in the nation. He's already moving. And things are shifting, things are shaking, and things are probably not going to get better anytime soon. I don't mean that to be negative, but God shakes. In Hebrews, it says that God will shake everything that can be shaken so that the only thing left is of him. And he does it in us individually. He does it in nations. And he is shaking the nations. And America is one of the nations that's being shaken. And we can only depend on him. When things are shaken, if you've ever been in an earthquake, I was in Guam, of all places, and they had an 8.2 earthquake. Mm. But they'd never even heard of that before. There was not ever any indication of that. I'm in the recliner, in the Lazy Boy, in the living room, and all of a sudden I hear this loud noise, and the chair just starts shaking. And I was like, what is that? It was so bizarre. And it was like, you could hear, we had a concrete, like a square concrete box house. They have flat roofs over there. And the whole house was moving. So I jumped up from the chair. I looked out the window, and there was a pickup truck that was just passing by in the front of the house. And the people in the truck got out of the truck, and they were like their arms up in the air, and they were like, what is this? It was the most bizarre thing. But that feeling, I will never forget that feeling. And, you know, people in California deal with it all the time. But when you feel shaking, you are absolutely helpless. There's nothing you can do about it. But running outside is your best bet, because you don't want to be inside of a building. So the things are being shaken so that people will seek God. You know, God's going to have his way. And if people do not repent, he's going to have to do some stuff to encourage people to repent. And to me, I just feel all the chaos and everything. When we can all look and see things are not going too well. Maybe they are in some places. But overall, the overall feeling is that something is going on and none of us has any control over it. And I just say that God is encouraging his people to seek his face and to call upon him. and return to him so that he can heal our land, like it says in Second Chronicles. If my people who are called by my, it's us doing it. The government doesn't need to change. We need to change. We as believers, we're the ones. When you don't do anything, evil is able to run rampant. It's the people of God. When the people of God stand up and repent and take their place, I think a lot of it's happening because of that. There's been a lot of prayer and intercession going on for a while, specifically. So God's answering prayers. So look around and know that God is answering prayer. Hallelujah.
God working with mankind, mankind working with God, and it's behind the scenes and it's supernatural. It comes by precept, by teaching, and the example of what God really wants to manifest. And we're living in a day where believers are beginning to manifest, and then they're teaching out of what they've been manifesting, and it's lining up with the Word of God, because God is bringing divine order into the earth, because he really does have a plan, he really does have a purpose, and he wants us to know that he wants permanency of character in our lives so that we become so independent of circumstances that we can literally see to it that the next generation of our posterity is taken care of, because this is the plan of God from the beginning to the end. And when you look at the begats, this one begat that one. They were all successful generations, and this is a successful generation.
Amen. Amen. I had something I was reading here. You guys need to talk, because I need to read this thing, because I got to find something, because I didn't even read this until just before I left the house this morning, that this introduction that I had been reading. But in my prayer time, I heard the Lord say, good order and discipline. And that's something in the military, to maintain good order and discipline. You know, a lot of people don't like order and they don't like discipline. And so anyway, I was just thinking back, you know, to my military time. I like order and I like discipline. So I don't have any problem when somebody says, this is how we're going to do it now. You know, when you have the overview, you understand what's happening, then you can submit to that. And I submit to you that God is trying to bring order to the nation. And it looks crazy right now. And it is crazy. It's shaking. It's chaotic. But God wants to bring the order. So if we think about the kingdom of God, you know, Jesus being the king, then everybody that's under him, his subjects, we're all on the same level. And when we look at the nations, when God appoints leaders to nations, you know, they're responsible over the nation. You know, and we submit to the laws that are already in the land, the laws that are already in place. And, you know, and then the person over the nation has the authority to, with Congress and all the other stuff. But just the same way, just look at it, that God is wanting to restore good order and discipline to the nation. I know when we were growing up, you know, there's probably a lot of weird stuff going on. But and when you're little, you don't know that. To me, it always seemed like everything was wonderful, you know, right? We weren't, you didn't, except for having to hide under your desk when they did a nuclear test, you know, when they told you to, you know, yeah, we're gonna blow that siren, and then you'd hide under the desk, and it's like, well, what is that about? We never really understood what it was, but other than that, we just went about on our ways. So
gosh, you just took me back when I was a kid, and I looked had a kid now that was my age in this time, and they're so consumed with the worries,
right,
and the noise of, right, the world, because they're, you know, in social media, you know, again, it can be beneficial in some areas in our lives, but gosh, like I was a little kid, I would go, you know, and spend my summers in Georgia, and I would play out in the woods, and it was just, mm-hmm. you know, just nature, running right. around, playing tag, you know, like yes, the simple things in life. I didn't think about half of the things that children at that age are thinking about, are concerned with, are dealing with. And so I know we can't necessarily go back in time, you know, but gosh, I just can't help but God's mercy really knocking on our doors right now mm-hmm. and just allowing things to happen in our lives just to let mercy come in,
mm-hmm.
you know, just to let his mercy come in and realize his hand of rescue and his hand pointing out the way we should go. Like literally mercy saying, come here
mm-hmm.
or take my hand, you know, that make well use of the time. I don't know what I was listening to, but the other day, what's the guy's name that passed away with ALS?
Oh, the Dilbert guy.
I
don't remember his name.
The actor. Oh, forgive me, please. But he had left a message for his family and friends, and one of the things. The sad thing is he left without knowing the Lord, you know, and he didn't mention anything about having any faith. But he said, learn how to live in the present. You know, we're always thinking about tomorrow, 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 what we're going to have, what we're not going to have, right? Depending where our thought process is, whether it be negative and speaking death or speaking life or, you know, positive, right? And so, but we're still thinking tomorrow, 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 tomorrow. And we're not really fully in the present. Mm-hmm. And he said that being sick caused him to live day by day in the present and taking everything in, taking everyone in, taking moments. I mean, finding every moment important. And gosh, that just ministered to me so deeply. Like we have to live better. We have to steward better. We have to love better. We have to serve better. You know, we have to be better daughters, better mothers, better wives, better workers in the field, better. Take advantage of today. Live fully today, not doing what you want to do or taking advantage of the grace, right? Taking advantage of the mercy, taking advantage of the gift of salvation. But just, wow, I don't know. There's just something to that right now as he's knocking and as mercy is knocking and saying, look, just be aware of this. I'm giving you this opportunity. To be with me, to hear what I have to say. And we're always saying this on the radio broadcast, like the value of being present, even with him, the Father.
Well, you know, this George Washington declaration that he had, that pray that God would incline the hearts of the citizens to cultivate a spirit of subordination and obedience to government, to entertain a brotherly affection and love one for another, for their fellow citizens of the United States. And that's the picture that I was seeing with, you know, you got the king and then everybody is on the same level. So this is what the foundation of the country, that all men are created equal. Mm. So if the seat of government, you know, which has to govern, there has to be rules and laws, then, and that's for the protection of the people that live there.
Mm.
And all of us are free to live our lives the way that we feel we can live. without interfering with others. Everybody, no matter if, you know, whatever your beliefs are, mm-hmm. you know, we as believers, of course, we want everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be saved. But, you know, when is that going to happen? So, but in the meantime, you know, we have to live with people that differ from us, people that don't agree with us. But all of us are on the same level, you know. But, you know, the word says, you know, that with the flesh, everyone wants their own way.
Yep.
We've all turned our own ways, and we're going to continue to do that until Jesus returns. Every one of us has turned to our own ways, mm-hmm. and we all want what we want. But I just can clearly see, you know, let's chill out. And let God be God, and let us adhere to the rules of government, to the laws of the land, and just love people. What else can we do? We don't need to overlord things over people. But all right, let's just take a break real quick, and we will be right back. Let's see. It's been a week since I've been sitting here at the board, so I gotta see what I'm doing here. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Sherry. Prayer and Share is coming up soon, and I'm excited to be taking your calls and speaking with you again. Did you know you are an integral part of our support? Beginning March 16th and continuing through the 27th, you will be able to stand with us in prayer and financial support. Please begin to pray how you can help WCNO spread the good news of Jesus through our programs and music. Won't you consider making that call? 772-221-1100.
Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. There is no doubt we live in chaotic times. Just listen to the news, if you dare. The world is a battleground for spiritual warfare. If what you see or hear in the news frustrates you or makes you fearful, then you need something beyond the news. You need the good news. Every Tuesday on WCNO at 11 a.m., a biblical response to the issues of the day.
Do you know what happens every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO Christian Radio? News and views to edify the body of Christ. Exciting authors, pastors, teachers, folks invested in richly blessed ministries where the church meets the world. God is doing things you want to hear about. That's Wednesday Live, airing every Wednesday at 11 a.m. on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Monday, March 16th at 7 a.m., the sun will rise on our spring prayer and share. Only twice a year do we come to you to raise funds for this broadcast ministry, and it is crucial in these days where the gospel and those who share it are under great attack. Faith is an active verb, and we are decidedly active in broadcasting His truth. This is a benchmark of our ministry. We fight the enemy with God's word. Will you join us yet again, or perhaps for the first time, in this holy endeavor? You can reach us at 772-221-1100 for more information or to donate early.
Okay, we're back. And yes, I stuck that little spot in there to let everybody know. Of course, you've probably been hearing those spots coming around the clock that our Prayer and Share is upcoming, starting on March 16th. and for 2 weeks, where we do our semi-annual fundraiser to raise the money for this wonderful station that you all get to enjoy, and that we get, you know, we have a lot of people that call in and say how much they enjoy the music. Got one lady who calls quite often, and what was that song? Tell me what that song was. Who was the artist? And, you know, she doesn't have the thing in her car. We call it RDS, you know, where you can see the name of the song, mm-hmm. which, you know, we were wanting to get that for years. So she doesn't, she says, I have an old car and it doesn't have that. So she has to call. But, you know, there's people that enjoy the music, they enjoy the programming, and WCNO is a listener-supported station, and we wouldn't be here without the support, financial support of the listeners. So we hope that you'll join us during that 2 weeks of fundraising. So then we won't be doing the program, you know, for those 2 weeks, the week of the 16th and the 23rd, the second week. But but we'll be here in spirit.
Yes.
And all right. So, Deanne, what do you have? I'm sure you have something awesome to say.
Oh, well, I'm just coming off a 3-day fast. Fasting isn't so popular anymore, right? I remember when I came to the Lord back in mid-90s. There was a lot of fasting going on, mm-hmm. and I didn't understand it, had no clue about it. And people that were in the church I was attending, they're like, oh, well, we're going to fast for 1 day, 3 days, 5 days, 10 days. And I'm like, why are you doing that? So as I learned and grew in the Word, I started surrendering myself to fast. And I would wake up in the morning and literally be like, Lord, do you want me to fast today for anyone, anything? Tell me what to do. Give me instruction. And this is all going to tie in. So he would, you know, Holy Spirit would say, yeah, fast for this person today, or fast 3 days for that. Or I would be in a financial situation as a single mom, and I would be literally like, God, I am going to fast until you provide. That was my desperation. I am going to fast and seek you until you bring the provision that you promise in your word. And I would do that. And God always came through. So the point is, some things only come by fasting, prayer, and fasting. So as I joined with some ladies the last 3 days, there was a couple ladies going through some really desperate situations in their home and their marriage. And the Lord just pricked in my heart when the lady said, I'm going to start a 3-day fast. And the Lord pricked my heart, join. Then four other ladies said, we'll do it too. So there's something very, very, very powerful about that unity, that oneness, that seeking the Lord together, that corporate one accord, oneness, unity. So that's what the Lord is trying to provoke us and shake us and move us to in this hour right now. And yesterday, as I was seeking and worshiping and just, you know, Lord, here I am, speak to me. I kept getting that. I know he knows everything. Mm-hmm. So omniscient, right, is the all knowing. Omnipotent is all powerful. Omniscient is all knowing. So he's all powerful, all knowing, all present. He's everywhere all the time. We know the word he gave me before was the earth is my footstool. He knows everything. Nothing misses him. So yesterday he was giving me, I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll read excerpts. So I was getting that nothing and no one can escape from my sight. No one escapes from my eyes that search to and fro for clean, pure hearts. So right now, God is looking at the heart of every person. We know the facade. We can look a certain way. Mm-hmm. We can speak a certain way. But we can't hide the true and inward motives and intentions and either contamination or purity of our heart. We can't hide that from God. Mm-hmm. So fear the Lord. The last verse in Ecclesiastes, the last chapter and the last verse says, I'm sorry, let me read that real quick because this hit my heart the other day. It's like mic drop. absolutely mic drop. Is that it? Oh, that's Peter. Okay. Ecclesiastes 12. Oh, here we go. I'm so sorry. So the last two verses. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is man's all. Mm-hmm. Period. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And that's the last chapter and verse of Ecclesiastes. It talks about the times and the seasons and all of that. So from that, the Lord has just been speaking, you know, all present, all knowing. So he says, I am looking for those who love me, fear me, and worship me in spirit and in truth, not loving their lives to the end. It's not about us. We were not created to satisfy our flesh, our desires, our pleasures, our will. That is not what we were created for. We were created to serve God, love God, worship God, and submit to him. You're my creator. What am I created to do? Who am I? What am I supposed to be doing for you, God? How far away are we from that? That attitude, that posture in our hearts, you know, even in the Christian realm, even in the body of Christ. And says, this world is only temporary and not your final destiny. Where will you rest for all eternity? You know, people don't think about that anymore. I don't think they think, you know, they say a little prayer, I'm saved. But they don't really think about, I think it's just like those that will come before him and he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. Why? Because he said, your heart was far from me. Mm. So God is working on the hearts right now. So examine your heart, your focus and priorities. Where and how do you spend your time that I give you every day? I give you breath and I give you life, and no man knows the hour or minute that it will end. Mm-hmm. We do not know. We don't know if there will be a nuclear explosion, if there'll be an earthquake to swallow us up or a tsunami to, mm-hmm. We don't know. That's why we have to make the most of every day and honor him every day. So that's what he says. Seek me, worship me, and honor me, God Almighty, while you have the opportunity. Everything else is secondary. Everything else. And has no kingdom value, he's saying, unless it involves him. Do you make your schedules and plans and then expect me to tag along? Ouch. Right? This is disobedience, sin, and pride. Pride goes before destruction. I resist the proud, but give grace to the humble. Your labor is in vain if it is not ordained by me. My word instructs you to cease from your labors, enter my rest, and follow after me. That's Hebrews 4. We rest in the Lord, we cease from our works, and we submit to him, and he orders our steps. He shows us exactly what we're supposed to do that's going to be kingdom value. Follow after me. You can do all with favor and ease when you first trust me. Believe that I know the plans I have for you that are for good and not evil. Why? This was the part you were just talking before the break. Why do you ignore and resist my spirit who lives in you? Because you want your own way. And rebellion is as witchcraft, the Bible says. You rebel against my will. He says, yes, I've given you a free will because I want you to choose every day who you will serve. And he goes on to, we can't blame the devil. We can't blame man. We can't blame anyone or anything. It's only going to be one-on-one. Audience of one. When we stand before God, it's going to be, we have to answer. And I'm holy. I'm good. I'm faithful. I've given you everything you need to be free and saved, including my only begotten son. And he goes on to say more. But the very last word, sentence of this word, is what more can I do to empower you to choose light, love, light, life, and righteousness? So God is looking for those who will hunger and thirst for righteousness, who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And in this hour, he is trying to stir up, right? Stir up and move the hearts of the people to draw close to him again, so that he will move, he will work, he will have mercy, because we know the enemy's plan of destruction and we know things are going to happen. But when we pray and we're sincere. Who can enter the holy hill? Those with clean hands and a pure heart. When we join in that pure motive, that pure obedience to God in such powerful agreement and unity, God is going to have mercy, and God is going to stop, and God is going to expose. He's been doing that. And that's where President Trump in office, it's not the man. It's the calling and the anointing on him. As the people pray, God has his way through the vessel. Trump is only the vessel to bring forth God's kingdom plan. Whether we like him, we don't like him, we don't like his personality, we don't like his remarks, whatever, it doesn't matter. We need to be praying for him because he's the chief officer and authority of this nation, and we need to join with his plans and proclamations that of what he's doing in the White House for the country.
Amen. Amen. Scene, what do you have?
We're told to walk in the Spirit, and we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Romans 8:10 says the body is dead because of sin. That's positional truth. The Father, God himself, sees your body is dead. When are you going to see your body is dead? And, you know, to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh is a place all in and of itself. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Most people don't really know what they believe. And because of that, they know how to live out of their soul, their mind, their will, their emotions. They're not familiar with spiritual work. And so the will is the executive department of the mind that causes us to think, choose, and act out of our own volition. And that's how most people live. But when you learn the things of the Spirit and you begin to walk in the Spirit, something happens. And I'm going to say it again. It's called permanency of character. People wander and they wander through life. Why aren't my prayers answered? Even people that fast and pray. Why aren't my prayers answered? Because I'm going to answer it. I'm going to make a blanket statement. It's because God is more interested in his character being developed in his people than he is to answer their prayers. So once we allow the Spirit of God to begin to really work in our life, it's because when you look at the book of Galatians and you look at what the fruit of the Spirit is, love, joy, peace, patience, meekness, kindness, long-suffering, et cetera, but it says, against such there is no law. There is nothing that can ever stop what the real fruit produces. And what real fruit produces is permanency of character. And if the body of Christ ever wants to come to the place where they become independent of circumstances, they will live by permanency of character.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Amen. And when you don't live by the flesh, you can submit yourself fully to God, to his will, his plans, his desires. And it's like a shift in your thoughts.
Mm-hmm. I mean, God working with human beings, human beings working with God, it's about having God, becoming God inside-minded, working with the Spirit of God to do what God wants done. There's an assignment for every believer, but it begins in that prayer closet, as Deanne was saying. It begins with real fasting. Fasting executes a position to where we begin to find out our body really is dead, and sin shall no longer rule or reign over us because Christ was raised from the dead and we're seated with him. It's a big difference. And when we pray, real prayer, effective prayer, really works because the grace of God will empower you to walk in truth that's already established in the Word of God. And when the Spirit and the Word of God come together in our lives through just a little bit of character, we become independent of the circumstances that we've been going through without wandering or wondering any longer.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
You know, and back to the old sins of the flesh, you know, James 4, what causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but you don't have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You don't have because you don't ask God. When you ask, you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. Don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Mm-hmm. And anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. Think about it. You know, when we're born again, you know, we're at war with the world, and in that sin nature that used to rule us all the time. And it's all about submitting to the Lord, submit to God.
And always remember that new nature has to be developed, but it's your responsibility to develop that nature through the Word and through the Spirit.
Okay, we have a phone call. We have a new phone. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead, caller. Hello?
Could you hear?
Yeah.
Proverbs 9 on your program today.
Proverbs 9?
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a look at that. Let's see.
I read your special.
You have to turn your radio down because it's causing an echo. Proverbs 9. Mm-hmm. Okay, and what verse? You got to turn your radio down. Proverbs 9, what?
Read the whole thing. It's very short.
Okay, Nanette, you want to go ahead and...
Proverbs 9?
Yep.
Wisdom has built her house. She has carved its seven columns. She has prepared a great banquet, mixed with the wines, and set the table. She has sent her servants to invite everyone to come. She calls out from the heights overlooking the city. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways behind and begin to live. Learn to use good judgment. Anyone who rebukes a mocker will get an insult in return. Anyone who corrects the wicked will get hurt. So don't bother correcting mockers. They will only hate you. But correct the wise and they will love you. Instruct the wise, and they will be even wiser. Teach the righteous, and they will learn even more. Fear the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One results in good judgment. Wisdom will multiply your days and add years to your life. If you become wise, you will be the one to benefit. If you scorn wisdom, you will be the one to suffer. The woman named Folly is brash. She is ignorant and doesn't know it. She sits in her doorway on the heights overlooking the city. She calls out to men joining by who are minding their own business. Come in with me, she urges the simple. To those who lack good judgment, she says, stolen water is refreshing. Food eaten in secret tastes best. But little do they know that the dead are there. Her guests are in the depths of the grave.
Amen. And sir, did you have a comment about that? Caller, did
you look at the circumstances around me? What's going on?
Yes, go ahead. What specifically did you want to address? Well, we definitely need wisdom, and the Lord tells us to seek wisdom because wisdom is the principal thing.
Amen.
And yes, it would behoove all of us to seek the wisdom of God. All right, sir, thank you for calling.
That's like this morning, Karen, it goes in line when I was surrendering to the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I decree this day I will walk in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. I will walk in love. I will walk in light. Mm-hmm. I will walk in truth. I will walk in righteousness. I will walk in wisdom. I will walk in discernment. Mm-hmm. I will walk in the gifts of the Spirit, and I will walk in the fruit of the Spirit. This is where we're to be living, right? Written epistles before men, mm-hmm. that when they see right. us, our life, our character, as Sean said, that we are just walking epistles. Mm-hmm. We're the walking Word of God, living and doing the Word of God, obeying the Word of God, being who Jesus called us to be. And yeah, that was an awesome proverb.
Yes. I know the Lord gave me a scripture this morning about wisdom, but I don't remember what it was. Anyway, I like wisdom. Oh, I know what it was. It was somebody on social media. Young lady says, I'm 21 years old, and, you know, I need some practical help with things. You know, not big, frilly things, but she wanted, like, practical ideas from people. So, you know, people tell you, you know, save money, get a 401k, do all this stuff. And I asked the Lord, I said, if a 21-year-old asked me, you know, what's a word of advice to give them right away, the Lord said, get wisdom.
Mm, yes.
You know, seek wisdom about things before you do stuff. And, so I was just pondering about that. Mm-hmm. Pondering about wisdom, because it is the principal thing. And then we're to get wisdom and then get understanding. Amen. As well. So praise God. All right, I want to thank that caller for calling in. And we've got about 3 minutes left. So what else? Sean, what else do you have? You closed your notebook. Your notebook that had a lot of writing in it.
As one man said, in the book of Timothy, I believe it is, Paul the Apostle said, for I have learned the secret. You ever look through social media and they promise you the miracle cure for this, the miracle cure for that? You know, like the world is a big marketing firm and they're going to give you this, they're going to give you that. And then you go, you press on it with your finger, and then you see a bunch of mad people because they don't really give them the answer, but you can call in and buy the product, you know, instead mm-hmm. of them giving you the miracle cure. And the answer, again, is when God is working with humankind, it's pretty simple. Learn the secret. The secret is to become content, walking in faith and believing that your God is real, because it's impossible to please him without faith, and he rewards the diligent, those who seek him. So as we keep running to him, we learn the secret. We become content. Once we're really content, that's a big word, content in Christ, because it's where God can work with you to help you develop that new life, that new nature, you know, alongside of your family members in the body. And it's just, I don't understand why there has to be so many misconceptions about growing up in Christ. But as we do, we really will become independent of circumstances that have held us back, that have told us that we can't. Because with God, all things are possible, and all the promises of God are yea and amen.
Amen. Praise God. What do you got, Nanette? You look very, like, pondering-ish.
Is it obvious? I can't hide.
But you've got, like, 35 seconds.
Well, 35 seconds. I don't know. Did Jonah eat in the big fish at all? Okay, I'm just going to run with it. Listen, fasting doesn't get you what you want. Fasting gets what God wants
yes.
done in you and through you.
Yes.
So when Jonah possibly did not eat in the whale,
yes,
it wasn't that God submitted to him. He submitted to what God was requiring of him.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Nanette. That was great.
It sacrifices our flesh. It buffets and burns our flesh. It kills our flesh.
Yes. That's the word of the day. Kill your flesh.
Kill the flesh.
Caliente.
All right.